phone off.
Well, it is good to see you guys this morning. Is this thing on?
How about now? There we go. It's good to see you guys. Welcome to Family Day at Calvary. I'm excited that everybody's here today. We've got the kids in the house with us today. Where are my kids at? A few up. Come on, guys. I know my kids can get, I know some of you can get loud. Where are my kids at? You're doing it just, no, you and me, right here, buddy. Right. We're going to have some fun today, but I'm going to go ahead and invite my ushers to come on up. We're going to receive this morning's tithes and offerings. We're going to have some fun today, so kids, don't worry, it's going to be a good day. I even might have some chocolate for you at some point, for some of you. We'll see. If I say, oh, I say so. I absolutely say so. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you so much for your goodness and your provision in our lives, and we thank you that, Lord, we can trust you. We trust you with everything we have. And so, Lord, I pray that as we give as worship, as we give as obedience to your word, as we give in the way that you require, that you ask of us, Lord, may it be with cheerful hearts. And, Lord, I pray that these gifts would be multiplied for your kingdom and for the ministry that happens through Calvary. Lord, I pray that your faithfulness and your blessing would be upon those who give according to your word. Lord God, I pray that you would challenge us and that you would reveal yourself to us, so that we can see how faithful you really are and how trustworthy you really are. Lord, we thank you that you take care of your people. Lord, we honor you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, amen. Guys. Stacy, what do we got happening? What
we got
are some
lots of things happening here at Calvary, y'all. Excited? So get ready. Here we go. One, today, as my husband said, is Family Day, so we're super excited about that. Every fifth Sunday, and it happens four times a year, we have something called Family Day, and it's a day that we encourage you to invite all of your family and friends to come. We have an interesting service, a little bit different, I'm just telling you right now, because we have the kids in service, so it's a little bit more upbeat. We do incorporate games throughout the service, so for those of you that are new, don't let that catch you off guard or by surprise. We have fun in here today being the family of God, because that's what we are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then we also have food and fellowship afterwards. So we invite everybody to stay afterwards out at the pavilion. Isn't it beautiful weather to have a grill out and a picnic and have a potluck, right? We encourage everyone to stay. There's going to be lots of food, fellowship, outdoor games. Stay and enjoy that this afternoon. All of you, and if you have family and friends that aren't here now, give them a call and say, hey, come join us after church today and hang out with us. We'd love to meet them, okay? So that's today. Next Sunday is actually our Easter Sunday. That day, we will have a special Easter breakfast. So we would encourage you guys to get here early. Breakfast is going to be served right out here in the C3 Cafe. It starts at 9 a.m. It goes from 9 a.m. to about 10:15. You don't want to miss out on that. Biscuits and gravy, scrambled eggs, sausage links, fresh fruit. Guys, it's going to be good. And that is all provided for you guys. So come and enjoy. Invite your family and friends. Back there at that C3 Info Center, everybody look back there for just a second. I want to tell you, I don't have anybody back there right now. Hey, Zane. Or Brian, actually, because he knows. Brian, find me that Easter card, please. Easter invite card. Guys, there's stacks of these back there. You have no excuse for not inviting somebody. Stop out before you leave today. Go to that info center. Thank you. Grab a bunch of these, okay? And go invite people to come to Easter with you next Sunday, okay? Lots of them back there. Everybody grab them. We would love to see this place filled with people because we want people to know Jesus, right?
Amen.
That's why we're here, to connect people to God. Grab those Easter cards and invite them to come sit with you next Sunday. Don't miss out on that breakfast. We do have some special Easter baskets for our children that we want to bless them with, and they have some special games that they'll be having in Kids Church next Sunday as well. April 12th, that following Sunday, we're going to do a water baptism. We have Woo-hoo! Several that have expressed interest in getting baptized, who have recently given their lives to the Lord, and we are so excited about that. If you would like to know more about water baptism, what it means to have water baptism, please connect with me or Pastor Luke. We'd be happy to explain that to you guys. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. Sign up with that. We'll connect with you. You don't even have to find us on purpose. You put that name on that list, and we're going to give you a call, okay? So if you're interested in that, just sign up in the back of the Info Center. And then on April 28th, we do have a C3 membership class coming up. If you've been coming to this church and you're like, man, I'd like to take that next step and find out why we do what we do here at Calvary and take that next step in joining our church, we would encourage you to sign up for that membership class, and that's going to happen on April 28th. There's a lot more things happening. There's life groups happening all the time. And life groups here is our way of saying get connected and doing life together. We have a health and wellness life group that is launching this coming Wednesday night, April 1st. We're meeting at 5 o'clock every Wednesday right downstairs in the C3 Student Center. If you're interested about learning more about how to keep your bodies healthy and well, then we would encourage you, come to that life group. We have a life group that's launching all about crocheting. Anybody want to learn how to crochet or like to crochet? Hey, that's happening too. That's going to meet twice a month. There's other life groups too, guys. A family one, 55 plus, and many more. For all of our life groups and to get signed up to get connected, right there, guys. That's why it's called the Info Center. Get connected at that Info Center and get signed up for those things. Again, much more things are happening. I will tell you one other thing. Camp Wilderness, we're launching a new series in our kids ministry. And you want to get your kids here. You want to get your grandkids here. Because right after Easter, for 6 weeks, they're going through Camp Wilderness. And in this, they're going to learn not about just the adventures of God and those crazy adventures that we can go on in our faith with God and growing deep in our word with God, but they're going to learn all about those camping and survival skills too. And at the end of it, in the middle of May, there's going to be a camp out here at the church for all of our elementary students and those in middle school. And we would encourage you guys, bring those grandkids, bring those kids, let them get deeply rooted in their faith, but let them learn those skills that we need to know about, right? Yes, Miss Starla. Yes, the camp out lock-in. Yep. Yes. There's going to be a lot of things outside, but they are actually said they're going to sleep inside the church, okay? So there you go.
That makes a big difference.
Yes, it does. Okay, so guys, there's lots of things happening. Family camp is coming up soon for the whole entire church family. Again, check out calvaryc3.com to find out what's happening. Stop at that info center and connect with one of our members of the hospitality team to get connected in fellowship here at Calvary.
Awesome. Thank you, sweetheart. Well, how many of you are ready for the word today? A few of you. All right. Well, Lord, I'm ready. And God, I pray that as we take this journey into your word for a moment, I pray that you would open our eyes to see you. Holy Spirit, show us what you want us to see about who you are, about what you desire to do in our lives. Lord, give us eyes to see as you see. And Lord, may our ears be open to hear your voice. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak to each person in this room, young or old. God, I pray that you would speak in a way that we can hear you, that we can understand you. And Lord, I pray that our hearts would be open to receive your word, all that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I got to tell you, do I have any horse people in the room? You got some horse lovers, right? Some of you are horse people by desire, not by actuality, but that's okay. So growing up, I didn't have horses, but I grew up out in the country, and I had cousins that lived right around me that they had horses, and I got to ride horses on a somewhat regular basis. I loved every time I got to get up on one of those horses. I've ridden horses a few times as an adult. I've taken my daughter on a horseback ride through the sandy areas of Florida. I've done horseback riding in Illinois. I like horses, but I don't have any. How many of you know they're expensive and they're money pits and they're a lot of things? And you got to be really a horse person to have horses. But I remember as a kid, before we started riding the big horses, I had two cousins. Each one of them had a pony. I don't remember both the ponies' names, but I remember one of the ponies' name was Rosebud. All right? I remember riding Rosebud. We would saddle up Rosebud, and, I mean, looked just like a normal horse, but about that tall. All right? And Rosebud thought she was an actual horse, though. Because Rosebud mixed it up with all the big horses. Rosebud was out there doing her thing, and she would call to the big horses, and they'd come running. And when the big horses would call to her, she'd come running. And that made it kind of hard sometimes when we were trying to ride just Rosebud, because she wanted to hang out with the big horses. But when we would all get together and ride, aunts and uncles, cousins, whatever, whoever was there, and we'd have the big horses and the ponies saddled up, and we'd get going, you know, those big horses, if they got going at a decent walk, they've got a long stride. Well, Rosebud doesn't have a long stride. And so Rosebud, we'd be saddled up with her, and just to keep up, and this is how you'd be riding Rosebud all the time. Right? Because Rosebud wanted to keep up with the big horses, and the big horses are just out there doing their thing, just going along. But me as a little kid on Rosebud, and then if the horses decided that if those riding, they'd take off. Now, I liked making the horses run. I liked a good gallop. And then the horses would take off, and so now Rosebud's going to keep up with the big horses, and where the big horses are like, ka-doom, 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 Rosebud is, and she's just going crazy, right? And so I loved riding horses, and I loved riding Rosebud, and then when I got bigger, eventually my feet were just dangling way too low to the ground. You'd get on Rosebud, and you'd nearly be standing on the ground, because she's a little pony. And so I had to start riding horses. Horses were an important part of life back in Jesus' day. Horses were an important part of life in the Bible times because they didn't have cars. They didn't have all of those things. In fact, most people didn't even have horses. Horses was a luxury to have. If you had a horse, that meant you were kind of wealthy or that you had some money or maybe you were military and you got to ride a horse if you were in the military. In Jesus' day, a king would ride into town on a horse after a battle or after something had happened. And when they would ride into town on a horse, it would symbolize victory because that king would be sitting high on this big, powerful horse. And they'd be riding into town like this. And everybody would be looking up to the king because the king is elevated above everybody else. And he's got his robes and his armor on. And there's all these people, woo, we won, we won, we won. And the king and his army following. And they'd come riding into town in a big parade, and it would be really cool. That was a big deal in Jesus' day because a king riding into town on a horse symbolized that he was a victorious conqueror. And that was really important. It was a power move. If a king wanted to display how powerful he was, he came riding into town on a horse. And so, for that, I don't have horses for you today. It'd be really cool if I had pony rides outside, right, where everybody got to go for a horseback ride. That'd be really cool. We don't have that. But I do have a corral of horses up here, a corral of ponies. And so I've got a corral of ponies that needs some riders. We have a race that is going to be happening today right here. So hang on. I need you guys to sit down. I'm going to designate this one Rosebud. Rosebud 1. Not Rogue 1, but Rosebud 1. All right. Well, there's Rosebud 1, 2, 3, and 4. So, all right. So I need a survey here because I want things to be somewhat even, somewhat. You identify as a 7-year-old, don't you? All right, let's see. I want, I tell you what, I'm going to do 2 races this morning. So we're going to try to make this happen. All right, so what we're going to do, man, I'm trying to make this. All right, Theo, my man right here. And I want Sweetheart right here. All right, and then I want Sweetheart right here. All right, but I got another race. I got another race coming. Hang on. All right, so here's the deal, guys. Today we're talking about not just horses, but today is Palm Sunday. Do you guys know what Palm Sunday is? Have you? Not a clue. All right, great. I love it. That's okay. We're going to be able to tell you. So on Palm Sunday, Jesus rode into town, celebrated as a king. But Jesus didn't ride into town on a horse. He rode into town on a donkey. Yeehaw! All right. And not just a donkey, but a colt, which is a baby donkey. All right? It's a little donkey. All right, so here's the deal. Rosebud here, Rosebud 1, is our donkey. And we're racing donkeys. All right? So, this is what I want us to do. Miss Darla, can you help me? Miss Darla is going to be our finish line. All right? Here's the deal. No, they're actually not. I got this. Rose, trust me. I got this. I need all four of my guys to come down here. My ladies and my gentlemen, come join me. So, they're the ladies. You're hopefully the gentlemen. All right? All right, guys, here's what we're going to do. Horses stand up tall. Donkeys do not. Donkeys also don't run. They walk. So, this is how you're going to do this. When I say go, giddy up, Rosebud. And the first person to make it to Darla racing their donkey wins. All right? Here's what, and so to make this a little bit sweeter, I've got a prize for the guy and a prize for the girl. So, come here, you donkeys. Meow. Meow. All right. Rosebud 1. Rosebud 2. Rosebud 3. And Rosebud 4. All right. All right. Back up. We got to get you. All right. There we go. All right. First one to cross with Miss Darla wins. Oh, I forgot to tell you. This is important. If you fall off, if you dismount, you got to go back to where you dismounted. You can't keep going like this, all right? No getting up and going. No, you got to, if you fall off, you stop, you get back on your donkey, and then you keep going, okay? All right, here we go. You guys got to cheer them on, all right? Are you ready? On your mark. Get set, ride. Oh, almost. Go. All right. All right. So, where's my boy winner and my girl winner? Right there. All right. That right there, chocolate for you guys. All right, I need my ponies back. Sorry. I wish I could give you a pony today, and all the parents are like, no, please don't give my child a pony.
My mom would accept it.
I'm sure she would. She's got a pen and everything, right? All right, you guys go sit down. We've got another race that we've got to do. I need my man right there. All right. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Let's go, Jaden. All right, take your donkey. Take your Rosebud down there. And I need two young ladies. I know this is trouble. Oh, my goodness. You guys are killing me. You know, this is really bad when these young ladies over here are all going. I know, right? Yeah. So here we go. I'm going to get two girls, and then I'm going to get two more. We'll figure this out. I know. So, give me two girls. All right, those two right there. Hey, we're going to come back. All right, ladies, come on. Come down here. All right, fellas. I know you're trying to cheat it up a little bit. Come back. This is our starting line right here. All right. Whoop. Oh, because we want the girls to win. We want the girls to beat the boys, don't we?
No.
I know, right? All right. Ladies, choke it up a little bit. Just a little bit. Right there. Oh, wait. All wet. Come on back. Yep. Right there. All right. Hang on. Remember, no running.
I ain't running.
I know you're on your knees. It's going to be great. On your mark, On your mark, get set, one. I didn't say go. Wait. Time out. I didn't say go. And you mentioned donkeys and chocolate, and they're just like, whoa! All right, back it up. Right here. Get down. Jaden, back it up again. Back it up again.
No.
All right. No, I didn't say start. I didn't say go. Come on, back. Back.
How are you back up? You're still a boy.
I know, but I'm not racing. On your mark. Get set. Go. Oh! Get back up. Oh, my goodness. I saw that. All right. Here we go. Stacy, I'm going to need more prizes. All right. Right there. And right there. Yep. Yep. All right. Yep. Woo!
The horsey made a noise.
The horsey made a noise?
Yeah.
We're going to have prayer if this horsey's making noises. All right, ladies. Come on. Liliana, come on. All right. Wait. Come up here. Line up with Anna. No, Anna, stay still. All right, wait. Back up.
I'm younger.
Yeah? Younger doesn't always mean slower. Guys, you keep moving forward. Lily, scoot up some. There we go. On your mark. Get set. Go. Woo-hoo! Keep going. Oh, my goodness. Good job, ladies. Thank you. Oh, she's got those cool shorts on and those knees. All right, so our winner right here was Miss Liliana. Miss Liliana, Pastor Stacy's going to have a prize for you later, okay? Because I don't have any more prizes up here with me. There's too many amazing kids up here that had to do something. All right, yep, they're going to go to class. They're going to go enjoy their day. I got to put these horses back in the stall. We don't need any stampedes today. Just a second. There we go. Stay. Good job, everybody. Good job. She got a chocolate cross. Absolutely. If you've got your Bibles with you today, or your apps on your phone or your tablet, you can open with me to the book of Luke, chapter 19. We're going to look at this story that we've just illustrated and had some fun with today. This story of Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. Palm Sunday is a day that is the week before Easter Sunday. And we celebrate Palm Sunday. It's called Palm Sunday because people took palm branches and they laid them down on the ground in front of Jesus as he rode into Jerusalem. Now, for us here in America, that doesn't sound like a lot. That sounds a little bit odd, probably. But the reality was this was a special moment. This was a special day. And so let's read in the book of Luke chapter 19, and we're going to start in verse 29. It says, as he came to the towns of Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples ahead. Go into that village over there, he told them. This is Jesus speaking. As you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, why are you untying that colt? Just say, the Lord needs it. So they went and found the colt, just as Jesus had said. And sure enough, as they were untying it, the owners asked them, why are you untying that colt? And the disciples simply replied, "The Lord needs it." So they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it for him to ride on. As he rode along, the crowd spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. When he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. "Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in highest heaven." But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, "Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that." He replied, "If they kept quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers." Now, this story, we're reading from Luke because there's something I want to pull out of here. But as Matthew also tells this story in his gospel, he talks about how people cast their coats, their cloaks down on the ground in front of Jesus, kind of creating a red carpet moment. But he also talks about the palm branches. They would wave the palm branches and lay those down. Another thing that Matthew records that Luke doesn't is that besides blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord, they also cried out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Lord, Hosanna to the Son of David." They cried out, "Hosanna." That word Hosanna literally means save us, save us. So I asked my family last night, I had to ask them, why would somebody cry out, "Save me, save me"? And if I asked you, why might somebody cry out, "Save me, save me"? I'm sure in this room we could come up with a lot of crazy answers. So I'm just going to read to you what my family said, all right? So I asked Lily, I said, "Why would someone say this? Save me, save me." And Lily's response was, "Well, if they almost were falling off a cliff." That's where my daughter went. Swoo! She thought falling off a cliff. All right, so then I asked Ben, I said, "Ben, why might somebody cry out, 'Save me'?" And he said, "Well, if they were in danger." That's my pretty chill kid right there. Simple. They're in danger. So I asked Em, I said, "Em, why might someone cry out, 'Save me'?" And she said, "If they were being tickled to death." Save me! Just so you know, in my day, I am ticklish, and she got it from me, but everybody knew if you tried to tickle me, you're probably going to get hurt, and I don't take responsibility for it because my involuntary actions just, and I start going crazy, and it just, yeah, I've kicked my family a lot. All right, Daniel, why might somebody cry out, "Save me"? And his response was a mob response, getting stuck in cement. I asked Alex, and Alex gave a great one. He said, "Trapped because of an earthquake. Somebody might call out, 'Save me.'" Stacy, you can tell where her mind was at. I said, "Why might someone cry, 'Save me'?" She said, "If they were drowning or falling off a cruise ship." I think she's got some fears there somewhere. The bottom line is the Jews needed a savior. They knew they needed a Savior. They wanted someone to save them. And so as Jesus was riding into town, they're praising him. They're saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And they're praising Jesus. And they're calling on him to save them. But their expectation was a triumphant king that would conquer Rome and restore Israel to the superpower of a nation that it was under King David. They wanted someone to save them from the things that they didn't like about life, but they didn't necessarily want to change themselves. They wanted somebody else to come in and change everything for them while their life just got infinitely better. Now, I don't know about you, but in my own fleshly desires, that would be amazing. If someone came in and did all the hard work for me and my life just instantly got amazingly better, right? Most of us would agree, I'd probably take a little bit of that. That'd be okay. But Jesus came riding into town not on a horse, not symbolizing this triumphant king that was a political or a military guy. He came into town on a donkey, on the colt of a donkey. And this was intentional. In Zechariah 9:9, this is a prophet in the Old Testament We're going to read this where Jesus is fulfilling an Old Testament prophecy. All right? There's a lot of them that he did. But Zechariah 9 says, "Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt." Jesus fulfilled the prophecy from the Old Testament about the Messiah riding into town on a donkey. And this symbolized that Jesus' kingdom is not military or political, but it's a spiritual kingdom. This made the religious people in their town mad because Jesus didn't fit their expectations. How many times have we gotten upset in life that things didn't go our way? Anybody ever been there? Right? Maybe some of y'all are more spiritual and more mature than I am, but there's times in my life, even still today, that when things just don't go my way, I can reach a breaking point, and then I'm just ticked off. Because it's just, ugh. These religious people had an expectation of what God was going to do, how he was going to do it, and what their Messiah would look like. And Jesus wasn't meeting that. And so Jesus rides into town on a donkey, but then over the next week, he's teaching them hard things. He's telling them hard things that they didn't want to hear. And they got mad at him because Jesus wouldn't stop speaking the truth. Some of the religious leaders, the really religious people, even looked at Jesus when these people are praising him and calling him the son of David. The Pharisees, the super religious people, were like, "Hey, you need to tell them to stop. That's not right. That's not okay. You need to knock that off." And Jesus looked at them and said, "Nah, I'm not saying that. Because if I tell them to stop, then the rocks along the road will start crying out instead." Church, I don't know about you, but I don't want a rock crying out in my place. I don't want a rock crying out for me and my praise. I want to be the one to give me my praise. And I want to tell you something, church. This is a side note, but listen, I think it's worth saying. Don't let people squash your praise. Don't let other people, I don't care how religious they are, don't let them tell you to stop praising Jesus for whatever it is you're praising Jesus about. Because the bottom line is, they don't know where you've come from. They don't know what you've been through. They don't get your breakthrough. They don't get your healing and your joy and your peace and your praise. There's not going to be a rock to cry out in your place because you've got voice in your own body and you can speak up and you can praise God yourself. So don't let anybody tell you need to stop praising him. No. You keep right on praising Jesus, and you don't be afraid to praise him. But it's at this moment in our story that the story takes a dark turn. We've got this incredible scene. Jesus is riding on the donkey, and there's this big crowd of people, the followers of Jesus, his disciples, people who know who Jesus is, or maybe they've seen him preach a sermon or do a miracle, and they're all shouting and celebrating. They're like, "Yes, the Messiah has come. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the Son of David." And they're making these claims about Jesus as the Messiah, and there's all of this celebration, and it sounds like an incredible party. But then in the midst of all of that, we read this in Luke 19, starting in verse 41. It says, "But as he came closer to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead, he began to weep. How I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to peace. But now it's too late, and peace is hidden from your eyes. Before long, your enemies will build ramparts against your walls and encircle you and close in on you from every side. They will crush you into the ground and your children with you. Your enemies will not leave a single stone in place because you did not recognize it when God visited you." In the midst of all the praise, in the midst of the celebration, Jesus experiences this moment of incredible sadness and incredible sorrow. And he begins to weep. See, Jerusalem was God's holy city. It represented his people, and yet the people did not recognize Jesus for who he really was. Jesus came to those people, God's chosen people in Jerusalem, and they rejected him. They didn't recognize him. In less than a week, they would turn on him because he didn't meet their expectations. Jesus said some hard things that people didn't like. The reality is that the truth hurts sometimes, and we need to hear it. But oftentimes we reject it. People will speak the truth to us, and we would rather continue living in our ignorance. You've heard the term ignorance is bliss. Ignorance may be bliss psychologically, but it doesn't lead to life physically or spiritually. And you were not called to live in ignorance. You were called to live in the light. You were called to live with knowledge and understanding. Jesus saw the hardness of their hearts, and it broke his heart. The consequences of their choices had already been written, and the destruction of this great city, of this temple, of all that it represented there in Jerusalem was sure to come. And Jesus is seeing the city, and he's sitting out there on the mount before he comes down the hill and comes into the city, and everybody's shouting and praising, and it's a great time. And yet I'm sure if those disciples that were close to Jesus, because it's a crowd, right? And those on the outer edges of the crowd, they can't see Jesus well anyway. They know he's there. But the people that are close to Jesus, I can only imagine what was going through their minds when everybody's excited. And it's like, yes, it's the time and the Messiah is here. And then they look up and Jesus is just weeping. Big old crocodile tears. Says that he wept. I don't know if you've ever fully wept before. All of us have cried at some point, but weeping goes beyond crying. Weeping's ugly. Weeping's messy. Weeping is all, it's chest heaving. It's tears flowing. There's probably some snot involved, right? I mean, it's nasty, okay? I'm sure there were some disciples close to Jesus that are like, what in the world is going on? See, Jesus saw the hardness of their hearts, and he knew what was coming. See, it's easy to celebrate Jesus when life seems to be good for a moment. But what happens when following Jesus means you need to change? What happens when your choices leave you broken and destroyed and beyond repair? Jesus was looking at a city that and all the people in it that represented God. They represented, were supposed to represent God to the rest of the world. And yet they were not representing God well. And they didn't even recognize God when he showed up to them. How many times has God showed up in our lives and we just didn't recognize him? Because we were so focused on our life. We were so focused on the things going on or the things that we wanted. Or we were focused on the wrong things and we missed the moments that God showed up in our lives. Jesus knew that they missed it. And he was broken. How many of us have loved somebody so much? Yeah. And we loved them, and then we watched them either reject us or reject truth, reject good things, and we watch destruction come into their lives because of the choices they make. Jesus was watching. In the midst of this triumphal entry, he's watching the people that he came for, that he loves, make some horrible decisions. Decisions they didn't even really understand. I've got these flowers here today. They're pretty. Emma chose them. These are her favorite flowers. Take note. You see? All right, got it. Flowers are beautiful. It could be these, it could be roses, it could be tulips, it could be anything, right? And when we're created, God creates us, and He has a plan and a purpose for our lives, and He creates us in His image, and He creates us to be beautiful. And a flower like this is desirable. It's gorgeous, right? It is something that most people would want. But each of these flowers represent us. I'm going to pull some of these out. And this even preaches, our lives can get tangled with one another. And so we're living life, right? And stuff happens. And we all want to be the best version of ourselves. We all want to be who God created us to be. But the reality is that sometimes we experience some things in life that don't go the way we expect. They don't go the way that we had hoped. And so sometimes, not even because of choices of our own, things happen. And life seems to just step on us and just absolutely annihilate us. And it's like we can't get any traction, and it's just other people's decisions bring pain and heartache in our lives. Sometimes, because we just don't know what's going on or we don't know how to handle things, we can become self-destructive and we begin to make choices that unwillingly just ruin it. Or maybe piece by piece, we slowly make decisions that over time, we don't even realize it as we're in the process, but eventually we get to a place where we turn around and we look at ourselves in the mirror, and we know that we're supposed to have this image. We know that we're supposed to look a certain way, but then we look at ourselves in the mirror, and because of our own choices, we don't like what we see. And we just feel broken and empty and destroyed. Maybe what happens is because we long for attention, we long for affection, we've not been treated well, but we've maintained some semblance of life, and we're not to that place of brokenness yet, but then we come along and we want so desperately to be accepted and to be loved and to be cherished and to be all of those things that we start giving a little bit of ourselves to everybody. And we start going along, and before you know it, we're just giving away every aspect of who we are because we want somebody else's love. We want somebody else to say that we're beautiful or that we're loved, to say that we're good, to say that we're worth it. And before you know it, we're giving ourselves away and there's nothing left. And then the people that are in our lives, maybe we've surrounded ourselves with people that do the same thing. And we watch, and that's all we've ever known, is that the people in our lives constantly give themselves away, and not in good ways. They give themselves away in ways that are just like toxic or bad, or maybe in bad relationships, or maybe they give themselves away in addiction. Maybe they give themselves away in struggle. Maybe they give themselves away in their work. And before you know it, all that's left is this empty, broken shell that seems like there's nothing left to do with this but just discard it and throw it away. Jesus is looking at the people of Jerusalem and the people of the world. And as they're all celebrating, He's recognizing the poor choices that they've made. And He's saying, that's not who I intended you to be, and that's not who I came for. Some of us, man, we make poor choices because we were abused when we were young. We've been abused in relationships, and we make these decisions that because we feel like we're worthless, we feel like, you know, because other people have said you're not worth loving well, you're worth taking advantage of, and that's it. And so because of those things, we then think that that's the truth, and we begin to do the same. We begin to allow ourselves to be taken advantage of. And we continue to allow ourselves to be abused throughout life because that's just what people have always told us, whether with words or with actions. And before you know it, this leads to heartache, it can lead to addiction, it can lead to depression, it can lead to all kinds of sin in our lives, it can lead to a bad place that brings destruction. And Jesus is looking at this place, and he's looking at Jerusalem, and when everybody else is seeing all these good things, what Jesus is seeing is this. Jesus is seeing the broken. He's seeing the poor choices. He's seeing the hurt and the pain. And he's seeing the destruction that is coming. There were a few people that stayed true to their faith in Christ or would make good decisions, and they maintained some of this. But the reality is, even that, there's no root here. This will eventually wilt and die. But in this world says, this is what I want. This world says, if this is what you are, I don't want you. I have no need of you. You have nothing to offer me. And so we get this image put in our minds that maybe we have to maintain an image. Maybe we have to strive for this, because if I'm this, then I have no value. But church, I want to tell you something. Jesus said that he didn't come for the healthy, the ones that seem to have it all together. He came for the sick. He came for the broken. He came for the ones that seem to have lost all their beauty. He came for the ones he created. And his heart breaks for the broken and the lost, the wanderers and the ones bent on destruction. Jesus knew what would happen with the people that week. Jesus knew what would happen with the city in just a few years to come. Jesus knew what would happen in your life. Jesus knew the destruction that Jerusalem would experience. Jesus knew the destruction and the problems and the heartache and the pain that you might face in your life. He knew it. And he still came. He came for you anyway, church. You who are broken and hurting, he came for you. You who have rejected God and his love for you, he came for you anyway. You who have destroyed aspects of your life, he came for you. You who have tried to do things on your own but have failed, he came for you anyway. You who have been abandoned by the world, you are not abandoned by God. He came for you. Knowing your sin, knowing your mistakes, knowing your trauma, knowing your addiction, knowing your pain, knowing your doubts and fears, knowing the choices that you would make, knowing that you might not even accept him, Jesus still rode into town, knowing that his journey that week would lead to the cross. Jesus came into this holy week loving you, loving everything about you, because he said, I don't care what you've lost. I only care that I've found you. Because this right here, I can't fix this. I don't care how good of a florist you are. These flowers are done. This world can't fix this. But Jesus, the word says he can cause beauty to rise from ashes. Jesus can speak to the wind and the waves and say, knock it off, peace be still, and all the chaos and crazy just goes calm. Jesus can take all of this that you feel, and he can say, you know what? No more, because behold, the old has gone and the new has come. His word says in the New Testament, it says, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This world might say you're broken. This world might say you're done. This world might say that you have no value. But Jesus says that's not true, because in me you have life. In me you have eternity. In me you have everything you need. Because I still came. Jesus came into this holy week knowing the sacrifice that you needed. And he willingly still came. Did you know that's how much God loves you? That he would still come for you even though you would make mistakes. Even though you were broken. There is nothing you could do to change God's love for you. Or cause him to abandon you. He promises to never leave you or forsake you. Even when I broke his heart, he still came for me. Even when I make mistakes or I get bent out of shape in my life, he still came for me. Even when I feel just utterly off. He still loves me, and he still came for me. I want to tell each and every one of you, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been or what you've experienced in this life, Jesus still came for you. He chose to ride into that town victorious and humble on a donkey, knowing that the journey would lead him to the cross, to torture and shame and death and sacrifice. He rode into town because he said, you're worth it. Even in your brokenness, in your doubt and fear and your addiction, you're worth it. Jesus came to save you from your sin, from your guilt, from yourself. He came to save you from the sentence of death that evil declares through sin. Jesus came to make the only way for you to be right with God again. And that means you can live with him for eternity in heaven instead of the penalty of sin, which is death and hell. Jesus doesn't sentence people to hell, though. And church, I want you to understand that. Some people think God sends people to hell, and that's actually not true. God never designed you for hell or hell for you. He never intended for any of us to go there. But when humanity rejected God, there was only one other place to spend eternity. You're either in God's presence or you're not. And God, in his great love for us, in our brokenness and hurt and pain, he sent his son Jesus to ride into town. To save us, to make a way for us to be right with God again, so that we don't have to go to hell. He loves us that much. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to get to God. That's what makes this week so special, that in spite of my sin, in spite of your sin, Jesus still came. He loves you so much that he would die for you without the guarantee that you would even accept his sacrifice. You can choose to reject it, but he still came. So what will you do with that knowledge today? What choice will you make this week, today? Will you choose to accept the love that Jesus has for you to say that even if you feel like this, the old is gone, and Jesus makes all things new. He restores us. He saves us. He makes us whole. All we have to do is accept him. All we have to do is say, okay. Okay, Lord. You came for me when I didn't deserve it. That's what this week is about. As much as this day is celebration in one sense, it's also grief, it's agony, it's tragedy. Because so many people rejected Jesus when he was here in the flesh. But now you have the opportunity to accept him. Will you do that today? Maybe you've accepted Jesus. You've given your life to him, but maybe you still feel like this. Maybe you still see yourself this way. And you'd say, Jesus, I want to see me the way you see me. Because the world will point out all of our flaws. The enemy, the accuser of our souls, will try to point out all of our past and our mistakes. But Jesus, and he covers all of that with his sacrifice, and he says, that's done. That's over. That's covered. This is the way I see you. I see you the way I created you. I see you the way I intended for you to be. If that's who you need to encounter today, I'm going to ask everybody to stand up on your feet. We're going to take a moment to pray. I know we've got some great festivities coming up in just a little bit. But I don't want to leave this place without giving you the opportunity to say yes to Jesus. To say yes to being healed in your heart, in your mind. Maybe to accept his salvation, to give your heart to Jesus today. Because he loves you that much. So with everybody's, bow your heads, close your eyes for a second. Anybody here, you'd say, that's me, Pastor. I want to give my heart to Jesus today. I want to be whole. Because all I've been is destroyed in my life. But I want what Jesus has. Is there anybody here, you'd say, that's where I need to start. I need Jesus to forgive me. I need Jesus to make me whole. All right. Praise God. And you may be here, and maybe you're in that other category I mentioned, that you've accepted Christ, but you struggle to see yourself the way Jesus sees you. You still see the brokenness. You still see the destruction. I'm telling you, Jesus wants you to see the peace, the hope, the joy, the beauty that he has given you. If that's you and you'd say, Pastor, I'm struggling with that and I need Jesus to touch me. I need healing in my mind and in my heart. Would you just raise your hand today because we want to pray for you. Amen. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. If you raise your hand and said, yeah, I want Jesus. I need to give my life to him. I want you to pray this with me. Just say, Jesus, I believe that you rode into town for me that day. Thank you for still coming to save me. I accept your forgiveness. And I choose to follow you. Save me. Be my Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. You prayed that prayer for the first time, or maybe it's second or third, but you're giving your life and you're making that commitment today. I'm telling you, there's a celebration in heaven right now. People are celebrating. In church, we have a reason to celebrate today because lives are being changed. Now for that other category. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to do something a little bold. The reality is all of us have brokenness somewhere. We all have had hurt and pain in our lives. We all have experienced hard things. And all of us, at one point or another, have felt like this. So if you're feeling like this today, or you struggle with seeing yourself this way, you need to know you are not alone. And you have people in this room that can be in your life, if you let them, that can encourage you and help you to see the beauty that God has for you. So if that's you and you say, yeah, I feel this way and I struggle with my image, I struggle with this idea of being broken and being whole, I want you to raise your hand one more time, but this time I want people to look around, and if you see someone with their hand up, go to them. Go to them right now and pray with them. Love on them. Don't wait and don't hesitate, because this is the body of Christ. This is what we are called to do. The Bible says that when one member of the body of Christ is hurting, we all feel it. We all hurt. When one member of the body of Christ is healthy and whole, we all feel it and we all celebrate it. So in our weakness and in our brokenness, we pray for one another. We pray for one another and we lift them up and we encourage them. So right now, that's what we're going to do. And I'm going to pray over you guys, but I want you guys to pray over one another. Heavenly Father, I pray for each and every one that raised their hand today. I pray for my friends in this house that struggle with understanding the goodness of God, the newness, the restoration of God, the beauty that you see in them. Lord, I pray that you would bring healing to their hearts and to their minds. I pray, Father, that the anger and frustration, the bitterness, the hurt, the pain would be healed in Jesus' name. God, I pray that your joy and your peace, your power and your presence would be in their lives. And I pray for amazing turnaround in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that you would be glorified in our lives. Lord, thank you that you came for us. Thank you that in our brokenness, you still came. That in our hurt, our pain, and our addiction, you still came. Thank you that you love us, God. Praise you, Jesus. Stacy, I want to close out today with that chorus, "All Hail King Jesus."
Okay.
Because that's what today is about. Jesus came as a victorious king, and yet he still came humble. Church, before we go, can we sing that? Can we just join in a moment of worship to declare the goodness of who Jesus is? All hail King Jesus. Sing it again. And all hail King Jesus. All hail King Jesus. All hail King Jesus. All hail King Jesus. All hail the Lord of heaven. All hail the Lord of heaven and earth. All hail King Jesus. All hail the Savior of the world. Father, we love you, we praise you, and thank you that you sent your Son Jesus to this world for us. Thank you that you still came in the midst of all of our mess. Lord Jesus, we honor you and we praise you today. God, I pray that you would be glorified in all that we say and do. in this day and in every day following. Lord, lead us and guide us. I pray your blessing would be upon your people, that as we go out from this place, that we would go and enjoy some incredible food and fellowship. I pray that new friendships would be formed today. God, I pray that lives would be intertwined to encourage one another, to help one another live this life out following you. God, I pray that you would bless the food and all those who have prepared things for us to enjoy today. God, I pray that it would nourish our bodies and nourish our relationships. Lord, I pray that you would watch over us this week. Bring us back again Wednesday night to study your word. And Father, as we head into Resurrection Sunday to celebrate the victorious conquering of sin, hell, and death, of Jesus rising from the grave next week, God, I pray that you would open doors for us to bring our friends and our family with us. I pray that you would bring about salvation and those who are not yet following you, who don't know you yet. Lord, help us, use us to build your kingdom and to see more souls saved for all eternity. God, we give you glory and praise. We thank you for this day in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Listen, everything is happening out at the pavilion and downstairs. So if you didn't know that there was something happening today, that's okay. Stick around, enjoy some food, enjoy some games.